Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being with me for another episode of Perspectives on Healthcare. My guest today is Diane Giammarino, and she is from New York. She specializes as a registered dietitian and a couple other things, including I always struggle with the pronunciation of this, but I'm going to go with a Reiki master. And if I print Reiki master, I told you I was going to struggle with this. And she is right on the tail end of the baby boomer generation. Diane, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
You bet. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
So, yes, I will say I had a degree originally, a bachelor's in business. And then as a result of my own health challenges, started looking into, you know, more at that time, I would say, you know, that term holistic therapy. And I found, I think he's still around, Dr. Ronald Hoffman in Manhattan. He was one of the pioneers, I think, you know, back in the day of Gary Null. And, you know, I had had a measles shot from my gynecologist, believe it or not, and some antibiotics, and ended up with such bad digestive issues and skin issues. And, you know, it was just one of those journeys. I think your health journey is always, health is always a journey. It unfolds. You meet the right people. I went to a yoga center, started finding out about meditation, started getting into nutrition, started working with him. And, you know, he used acupuncture, diet, homeopathy, so many different things, supplements. And then I was like, well, I think I'm going to go back for my master's. And did that working. And I went to NYU and I got my master's in clinical nutrition and became a registered dietitian, which I will say in healthcare, a lot of people poo-poo us because they see us as tied to industry and government. But there are some of us out there that branch out a little differently, you know, and have studied functional medicine. So like I said, it was my own health journey that actually got me into nutrition. And then, like I said, it's been one thing after another. I learned Reiki and Shambhala and tuning forks and so many things, you know, like I said. And in the process, I think with my healing, I've been able to help the clients that I've worked with. So,
yeah. Well, okay. So to me, you talked about people who kind of, you know, aren't thrilled about the nutritionist end of things, but our bodies are designed to be self-sustaining and in some ways to be self-healing. And that starts with nutrition because what you intake, your food intake, is what gives your body the building blocks to grow and to heal. And so therefore it's the foundational element of what happens with your body moving forward. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I'm like a foodie, I say. My sister went to the Culinary Institute. She's now a speech therapist. You know, I just came from a family, like my grandmother had a victory garden. So, you know, I've definitely deviated along the way. And I've changed my perspective. I've gone from vegan and macrobiotic to vegetarian and now basically follow a GAPS diet. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like that saying that people, they'll put the best gas in their car, you know, they want the best shoes, they want to pick out the best couch, but they have no problem like stuffing themselves with Doritos, you know, and we've all had them, they're good, we know that. But, and then, you know, I think everyone goes to the doctor and then they either want a pill or I've had people like, can't you just give me a supplement? And I really think food is so important. It's not the only thing. And I've learned that with my own journey. It's not the only thing. But our relationship with food, too, is so important. I've read something, and I can't quote the whole thing. I think it was on Sayer G's website, Green Med, where it talks about how the RNA in plants actually, when the food we eat transfers to us. Hmm. I've also read, like, when you grow tomatoes, we can have seeds from the same package, but my tomatoes may be nutritionally different than the ones you grow, depending on what you need. So I think we're so far away from where we should be with food. That's something I think. And I think this pandemic has shown us that too. We really need to take responsibility for our own health. We cannot rely on the government or the pharmaceutical companies. And I don't like to throw out that aspect of it either, because like my mom just fell. We needed to go to the hospital. She needed to have her wrist set. She had some broken ribs. So we're not saying we're never going to use that part of it. But for true healing, it's definitely a journey. And I think for me, I know it's reestablishing a different connection with food and with nature.
Yeah. So true. And I think you're right in that, there will always be a need for acute care.
Yes.
But there needs to be that shift in responsibility where people are saying, I'm going to take personal responsibility for myself and mm-hmm. what goes into my body. And it's not quick fix. It's not,
no.
it's literally, and as somebody who is doing a low carb diet and has been for 5 years, I've come to understand that it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle.
Yes.
Right? Because yes. with a diet, you go and you reach your weight loss goal. And once you reach your weight loss goal, then you're off your diet. And mm-hmm. And then, as most everyone who has ever been on a diet knows, when it doesn't take very long until you get back to whatever weight you were on, whatever weight you were at, because you didn't make any substantive and lasting change. It was just a temporary thing. So good. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
I think quality healthcare is about, you also do the energy work too. And I call it energy work because it's always like everyone's looking for someone to heal them. And even with the energy work, like you said before, it's reawakening that healer within ourselves. And that takes responsibility. So from a healthcare perspective, it definitely has to be affordable. That's a problem. I just had a structural problem that I needed to work with. And I was trying to find a practitioner, and I can't tell you how expensive people are. And I'm like, if you really want to help people and heal them, you can't charge them $300 an hour. Mm. And I really try to help people and meet them where they're at, because I want that same thing. And I also find that we need to listen better, and that's something I've learned. Like, we just took my mom back to the surgeon for her wrist, and my brother and I had to speak up, because the first time, she's not vaccinated. So the first time we went in, he literally stood like way more than the 6 feet away from her, never touched her hand, never asked her to like open up her, her fingers, and, her fingers were swollen, and we had to say something. It's like touch. I mean, listening to her, like ask her, how does she feel? How could you? Yeah. And then, like I said, not everyone's like that. We have a wonderful GP in our family who does it all, from like, he'll take your blood, he does your blood pressure, he's very hands-on, and he's the one who takes care of my mom, and he's our primary GP. So I think that's a big thing, is that we have to stop focusing on the money. And if people went into this for the real reason of helping people, you have to listen, you have to touch. Sometimes just listening, I think, is healing in itself. That can, awaken the healing force within someone, just making them feel valid.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I remember I was in the hospital with an infection, and it was one of your non-standard infection. So I was dealing with an infectious disease doctor, and he didn't like to, whenever you came in, you had to put on the isolation gown, and he didn't like to do that. So there's a literally a line taped on the floor of my hospital room that was, if you came over it, you had to get on up. And he would come and he would do his interview with me from the other side of that tape line.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, 18 or 20 feet away from me doing this. And it felt impersonal. It felt detached. It felt isolated. And, you know, exactly what you're saying, that there's got to be that element of connectivity. There's got to be that element of, I felt like, yes, he was listening, but there was, he didn't really come close enough to connect, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
Mm. Quality healthcare. Like I said, I think it's meeting people where they're at too. I think that's the important thing, is that it's not the same for every single person. And I think that's what's happened in medicine. Unfortunately, it's become like this corporate thing, which that's why I say I'm lucky, because our primary doctor has stayed out of the hospital system. And he said he's making half the money now, but he's able to practice the way he wants to, you know, because now it seems like it's there's almost like a script. You know, and it's really about treating people where they're at and individually. And, you know, when I work with people, sometimes, you know, if they come to me for nutrition first, you know, I'll feel them out. I trust my feelings and I say, okay, should I offer maybe a little energy work just to see where they're at, you know, or maybe teach them a couple of techniques they can do on themselves, maybe to flush their liver or something simple, you know? But like I said, I don't think it's, you know, one size fits all. It's really about listening. And it's about teaching people to also trust their feelings and reconnect with their body. Like, does this feel good? Sometimes I'll teach people how to body douse, like before they eat something. Because you can go on the internet and, you know, everyone's eating coconut oil or avocados, but maybe that's not the right thing for you. You know, for your, and maybe it's not the right thing today, but it may be the right thing a month from now, right? Because as we heal, our bodies change. So,
So what I'm hearing you say, and this is, so many times medicine works on statistics. Okay.
Yes.
And you know, this works for, you know, a certain percentage of people or, you know, the vast majority of people. And so people, you know, they're being treated with what works for the general population or what works for most people. And unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not most people, I'm me. And so when I come in, we need to find a plan of treatment that works for me because, like I said, because I'm not most people, then we need to individualize that plan of treatment, which I think kind of gets to the heart of what you're talking about. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I feel like that I'm here as an educator because when it comes to the nutrition end of it, I like to teach people how to, you know, cook for themselves. You know, I've done that where people just hire me for teaching them how to cook. And getting back to nature, like I said, getting back to their own power, taking their power back. And you can take your power back by making better choices. You're not a victim. And that healing is a journey. You know, it takes a long time, you know, but it's also can be a really good journey. I think if we fight it, we feel more uncomfortable. But I think if we look at it as a journey, we learn lots about ourselves and we always come out better than we went into it.
Yeah. In the disability community, we have a saying that is knowledge is power. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is as an educator, you're giving people knowledge and that empowers them to make the choices that, and to live their own life and to give them the responsibility so that it's not coming to a medical practitioner to receive the answer and to go just do what they've said, not necessarily blindly, but pretty close to it as opposed to learning about yourself, learning about the options, and then choosing the option that works best for you as an individual, which gets right back to what we were talking about earlier. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
I think that more people are awakening to that. You know, there's more now, people are definitely trying to reconnect with food, you know, going to farmers markets, you know, starting their own gardens. You know, of course, the internet has its downsides, but at the same time, here we are, right? And I think people are taking more responsibility. And like I said, I think these last 2 years have been a big lesson for most people. Like, are we turning to big government and pharmaceuticals, or we need to go inward? And we need to maybe, you know, whatever you want to call it, source, creator, we need to look inside and outside ourselves, but not to others. So I think people are getting back to a lot of basics, you know, and when people were home, you know, I think a lot more people were like, okay, now they're going to cook. And, but sure. Yeah, I love the trend of, like I said, farmers markets, farm to table. I mean, people that never would have even thought of eating, you know, a grass fed, I mean, you know, piece of meat or something, you know, 10 years ago. Like, I know I've been doing this forever. I've loved farmers markets. I was the first one in New York City at Union Square. I mean, that's for me, that's like a shopping, you know, instead of going to Macy's, that was always a fun thing for me to do. So that's a really great thing, because that is taking back responsibility and it's becoming part of a community.
Sure. All right. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
Like I said, I think the most important thing is to listen. To listen to people. And also, I think to refer out. I've been fortunate. I've worked for, because I did work in the clinical setting, which I feel like has helped me so much along the way. Because I learned so much working in a hospital. I worked in a nursing home during the pandemic. That was a real experience. But I have worked for a lot of private MDs along the way that would hire me, you know, to work with their pregnant patients or their diabetic patients. And I don't think they do enough of that. Okay. And then also, you know, insurance companies, they give you about 15 minutes for nutrition and you can't do that. You're lucky you can get a good intake in 15 minutes. So, yeah, unfortunately too much of it's on the drug side and not on the healing side.
Yeah. So it's so interesting. You know, you hear somebody say, all right, well, you need to do a low sodium diet. Okay. Well, if I do a low sodium diet, then I lose all of the taste that is in my, and so having a nutritionist be able to work with you on how do you introduce flavors into your diet that, you know, make it a fun and enjoyable thing. And so you're not just eating everything bland. It would be, you can't, like you said, you can't do that in 15 minutes. So
no. And I will say too, when it comes to salt, you know, I buy like pretty high quality salt. Is that the salt that you're buying, you know, the standard table salt from the supermarket, you know, has like, you know, sodium chloride, has a lot of chemicals, has been bleached. That's not the same as naturally occurring salt, you know? So I'm not one for not salting your food. It's the type of salt, because okay, we do need salt. And if our bodies are functioning, we're able to balance that. You know, when they say low sodium too, there's so many other things that go into your blood pressure that's
okay.
Yeah.
What? No problem. Diane, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, I've enjoyed it so much. Yeah. Thank you so much, too.
Oh, you bet. I appreciate you, and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.